Hi, I'm Kristen Pro, and when I'm not cooking up my daddy's jambalaya or my mama's gumbo, I'm listening to the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Mary Foley here, and it's great to be with you again. I bet you started your business, and when you did, you gave some real thought about your business name and the brand. And I bet it made sense to you. But as you learn and you grow your business, maybe, just maybe, your initial brand isn't quite right. So you ask yourself, do you rebrand? And if so, will you lose existing customers? Will the whole thing be worth it? Well, that's what we're going to explore today. But before we do that, did you know that the Power Plug Podcast is like your personal resource library on all kinds of topics to help you grow and manage your business? Well, it's true. We've just created like books that are 30-minute audio bites, and you can listen in to topics like power networking strategies and savvy market research and finding balance. You can do it all while you're driving, you're working out, or, you know, deleting some of those uninteresting emails. All you have to do is go to fidelitybankpower.com, pick any episode that immediately grabs your interest, and then to be even more handy, you can click on one of the icons to subscribe so you can easily get all the episodes and listen on your phone while you're on the go. Now let's get to talking about branding and rebranding with today's guest. Today we're talking with Kristen Pro, owner of the Jambalaya Girl. Now, Jambalaya Girl brings an authentic taste of New Orleans to the world with easy-to-prepare food products that are inspired by family recipes. Now, Kristen has an amazing story that started as an idea, a passion, and a brand that definitely got her going and definitely generated some success. But to get her to the next level, she realized she had to rebrand. And just like her recipes, she needed all the ingredients to work together for a tasty meal. So let's hear how she did it. Kristen, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And I just find your story so fascinating. I can't wait to dig into more. But I want to make sure everybody really understands who you are, where you've kind of come from in terms of your business. Today, you're known as the Jambalaya Girl, but that's not exactly how you started. So let's go back to the beginning. Why did you start your business and what sparked the idea?
Sure. Well, you know, I've had the nickname Jambalaya Girl since I was little, but we're going to come back to that because this business, what I'm doing, it really is the story of my upbringing in New Orleans. Born and raised here, daughter of an entrepreneur. My dad used to manufacture cooking equipment for a lot of the chefs and the culinary scene here in New Orleans. And I would always be the little girl in the next to the big old cast iron kettle, not the stovetop, like the big one in the big cauldron. So I earned that nickname helping him stir up jambalaya and all kind of Louisiana dishes. And it's one of those names that stuck with me. And my passion truly is representing the city that I love. I mean, I've always worked for companies that promote New Orleans culture. I mean, we're going way back. I used to be a costume character at a local theme park. I worked for the Superdome. I mean, it all kind of comes full circle into me now being the Jambalaya Girl. But I'll tell you what really inspired me to start my business. It was the days after Hurricane Katrina. I was evacuated. I wanted to do something to help. And honestly, my dad had a bunch of cast iron pots that he needed to sell that didn't flood. So I told him, you know what? Let's go and cook jambalaya. We'll do it as a fundraiser for New Orleans because that's what we do in New Orleans. We cook to help out. And I ended up coming up with this tailgating fundraiser, traveled the whole country, giving out jambalaya in return for donations to New Orleans. And we ended up raising about $100,000. People just wanted to connect and talk about the city. But really, the light bulb for me is that everyone come up, they get a bowl of jambalaya, and I like to say they did like a Louisiana two-step. They made their donation, took two steps away, turned around, came right back to us and said, oh my goodness, what is this recipe? It's so good. And to me, it was just a simple dish that I grew up cooking. And I knew in that moment that there was something there. Granted, I was 22 years old. I was tailgating, you know, I had lost everything, but I was still inspired to do something. And I was like, my passion for New Orleans, something to do with this dish and tailgating, I'm going to make this into a business one day.
Wow. I love.
So yeah, so that was how it all kind of really got the inspiration.
Mm-hmm. So when you did that whole tour around the country and you were raising money for, you know, the people in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, I love what you said, you know, we cook to help out when you're from New Orleans. And you clearly have a love for New Orleans. And then you went, okay, I'm going to start this company. It started as a different name than Jambalaya Girl, didn't it?
Right. We had this cute name. It was Cook Me Something, Mista. And Mary, I have to ask, before you and I spoke, I mean, what did you think? Did you know what that actually stood for in connecting it to New Orleans?
No, I mean, I thought it was like a phrase or as if someone said, hey, cook me something, mister. But I didn't have, it didn't say New Orleans to me.
Right.
You know, what if it was cook me something, sister? I mean, I just thought it was cute.
Exactly.
Great and fun, but I didn't connect it to New Orleans.
Yeah. And what it actually comes from, if you ever come down here for Mardi Gras, if you want to catch some beads, the real way to do it is they put your hands up and say, throw me something, mister. So, you know, it's something that between me and my dad, we had come up with, and it's right when we're playing around having the business started and great. Love it. Cute name. It's got a little story to it. And as I brought it to market, it stuck. I mean, it stuck locally, but soon after the first couple of years in business, I already started to see challenges with the name of the brand.
Full disclosure, many people know that as the host of the Power Plug podcast, you know, I'm based out of Richmond, Virginia. I love New Orleans, been there many times, haven't been there during Mardi Gras necessarily, but so no, I didn't make that connection, although I do love the idea of making jambalaya, okay, and gumbo, you know, okay.
I actually did a cooking show. This is when I started to see the issue. I did a cooking show in Atlanta, and I was trying exactly what you said, the cook me something sister. Somebody walked up to me, looked at my package, and they're like, cute name, handed the bag of my product to her husband and said, yep, cook me something, mister. I said, well, that works, but not really. Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, as all this is going on, you know, things you don't even think about when you start a business. The application of using your brand name in your business. For me, I'm selling eventually a grocery item that's going to go on the shelves across the country. And Cook Me Something, Mister is such a long name, it doesn't even fit on the shelf tag. Just things that I wasn't thinking about when I first started. So all those red flags were going up for me. And meanwhile, the authenticity of my brand continues to evolve. The story continues to evolve. And people start to associate my product with me, you know, knowing that this is my story, my passion. I literally showed up one day wearing a pair of fork earrings because of it. All ties back to the city I love. After the Saints were going to the Super Bowl, I led a parade and with all these super fans, and they told me I needed to step up my game on the Jambalaya Girl. So I had plastic fork earrings, a little mini cast iron pot on my head, and a golden paddle, and I'm yelling, yum, yum, come get you some. And that actually stuck, the fork earrings. Everybody thought that was the most clever thing. And then later I'm cooking for an alumni event. A cartoonist is there. He does a caricature sketch of me with the fork earrings. And all of a sudden, I had my look tied to my brand. And I knew that that was a connection because people were starting to go to the stores and asking for, you know, that jambalaya, the cook for you, mister, cook something. The jambalaya with the girl with the fork earrings. And as I started to hear that from my managers and from my customers, I was like, okay, there's something here. And I swear I had my Nike moment. I went to that caricature artist and I said, I want to pay you for this caricature. He said, oh, no, it's yours. Stan, this will be the logo and the brand of my company. And we ended up coming to an agreement. We made it a professional transaction. And I now have the original caricature sketch up on my wall and have incorporated that into my packaging. And even more so, there's more to the story of how the brand name changed. But that was really some of the early signs that something needed to change.
Kristen, so when you realized that Cook Me Something Mister was getting in the way to your next level of business growth, was it hard to make that change?
Yes, actually it was a difficult decision, but I tell you, I really reached out to all my resources to help guide me in that decision. The other side of my business, obviously with it being my family recipe, is there really was a lot of family ties to my business. You know, I was seeing it and I was hearing it from my customers, and I can always stress, listen to your customers. And to be able to go back to my dad and my mom and my brother and say, I think we need to make a change on what we call this. Yeah, it's a cute name that we all came up with, but the brand is becoming me as I'm the person who is the owner of the company and out there representing it. But what really gave me the green light, I took advantage of working with the Small Business Development Center, and they introduced me to the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program. Fantastic program. Graduated from that about 4 years ago. And they invited me up to New York to go and do some follow-up work with Goldman Sachs and Bloomberg. So here I am. I have my own conference room in New York in Bloomberg, surrounded by four executives who are sitting there to focus on me for the next hour to say, what can we do to help you grow your business further? What can we help to execute your growth plan? And the number one question they had is, let's address the elephant in the room. What is Cook Me Something Mister, and why are you not called Jambalaya Girl? I had to laugh because I was like, listen, guys, I think I came here for y'all just to twist my arm and tell me it's time. To be able, I told them, I'm going to take this back. I'm going to go back to my family and say, you know what? Executives from New York said it's time. It's time to make that change. And then I had that professional backing. You know, I had that ticket to say, let's do this. And I can tell you, it has been the best move, the best shifting gears for my business, because I went from a local brand. I was only selling in some local grocery stores. Maybe I was close to 100 grocery stores. And just 3 years ago, I made this change. I am now in over almost 2,000 grocery stores. This change allowed me to go outside of New Orleans, outside of the Gulf Coast, with confidence that I knew my brand was going to stick. And I'm now selling with HEB, with Publix up the East Coast. I sell on Amazon. I still sell my local market, and I'm growing with Sam's and Costco. So it really gave me the confidence and the authority to go out there and promote my brand and be able to make it not only a national, but I plan on taking this as an international brand. I feel like it has the foundation now to do that.
Wow. I was thinking 100 grocery stores is pretty dang good right there, but then to go to 2,000 and, you know, HGB, Publix, Amazon, Sam's, Costco, I mean, everybody in the United States knows who those names are.
Right.
You know, those are national brands for sure. Kristen, this is such a great story and so inspiring. Hey, we need to take a quick break, but I've got some more questions for you. So hold on and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new Power Program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and I'm talking with Kristen Proe about the why, when, and how of rebranding. Kristen, from your experience, what are the keys to a powerful brand?
For me, in my experience, the number one thing is authenticity. You know, and I want to encourage all your listeners and everyone out there, get started, roll with it. Even if you did like me and you just started with a fun name, be open to change, be open to listening to customers. But what really makes my brand so real is the authenticity of it, that it is my story, that it works for what I'm doing. But it's also your brand, if it can reflect your passion, keeping it simple is key. Like I had shared before, you get too long of a name, you don't even think about the application and where that's going to go. And something that in my business, I like to call it the taste memory. You know, somebody's going to associate the experience they had with my product, and they're going to experience that with a name. So make it memorable.
I love that. So even though you may not be as clear as you may start about how to keep it simple and reflect your passion, but just get started. I love that too. And I feel like there's this, give yourself permission to figure that authenticity part out at a deeper level. Like where you started was authentic. That's what I heard. But where you also needed to go was, it was just as authentic, but it was just a different aspect you that at the time you really hadn't given a whole lot of, you know, reflection to. Would that be accurate?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that every step of my business has been authentic, and it's evolved. But it's also, I'll tell you, your customers are going to tell you no matter what. You're going to hear them call your business what they want to call it, and it's memorable if they can easily recall the brand name, and not only the name, but they can relate to what your business and your brand is about. And I've also learned that people start to write their own story for your brand. You know, people have a lot of assumptions about who the Jambalaya Girl is, and I just need to stay true to what my brand and my business is about. And yeah, I'll share this. So I am in a very competitive industry. Across the country, the brand that was a trailblazer for New Orleans packaged food was Zatarain's. And I have a lot of customers who are telling me like, oh my gosh, you know, you're coming out, the customers tell me, oh, we like yours better than Zatarain's and this and this and that. And I'm quick to tell them, say, look, I didn't start this business to come out and attack another brand. I have much respect for my competition. I'm thankful for them. And I've even coined the way that we market our company. And it's our taste of New Orleans. Ours is different. Here's why it's different. Know what your strength and your selling points are for your business or your service or product, and stay true to that and make that your foundation. And that'll come out in your branding and in your messaging that you give to your customers.
I love that. I mean, when I think of Zatarain's, by the way, in terms of your space, I always think of the silhouette of the guy, you know, with the jazz player with the trumpet, right? It's just iconic of that. And certainly the name Zatarain's is a name that is more unusual, right? Mm-hmm. Had it not had the picture of the guy with the trumpet and laying the groundwork for New Orleans, I'm not sure I would have associated right off. I love the fact, and I compare that to the Jambalaya Girl, and I'm thinking, well, first of all, instead of a no-name
silhouette
of a jazz person, guy, it's an actual, you know, caricature of it with a face, and it's a female, and she's got some spunk to her character, kind of fun. She's got a screaming fun with those fork earrings. I mean, just is, right?
You're gonna get some good food when a girl's got some fork earrings on.
That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, if you had to take the earrings out, that could be, you know, how you eat the thing. But more than anything, it's just as fun. And I hear what you're saying. And they, on one hand, could be thought of competitors if they're certainly right next to each other on the shelf going, I really want some jambalaya mix. Which one, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they're different products, really, and the way that you've positioned it. How long did it take for you to go from cook me something, mister, to Jambalaya Girl?
From the moment I got back from New York, when I got that golden ticket to say, hey guys, we're doing this, we're making the change, to when you actually started to see Jambalaya Girl on store shelves, it actually took about a year. I mean, because it not only was a decision that we'd say we're going to make this and the time to change the packaging and the branding, but I'll tell you, I'm a small business owner, and it took it took me a time to figure out the financial ramifications of making this change. I had to go and get source fundings, get some capital to make sure that we're going to make this change. I had to take a deep breath and say, you know what? I'm going to put not only the brand on there and this caricature, I'm going to put my face on the back of the box. Is actually my picture with the fork earrings on. It tells my story. And I remember the conversation I had with a colleague that I'm like, okay, I hope my mom doesn't, I hope she never had a nightmare about me being on a milk box because I'm now on a, jambalaya box. But it took a lot of time, resources, money, and a lot of thought of how to even make that transition. Even though I was only in 100 grocery stores, I was still in 100 grocery stores, and I had to communicate to my customers about this change without having a large ad budget either. And I did so. Some of the keys that I kept with that, I knew my color. Yellow. You cannot miss my box on the shelf if you look for the bright yellow box. So I knew that yellow was already associated with my brand. I kept the same font, same look. But believe it or not, I changed from a bag to a box. So I went into it and said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. I had some research that guided me into the box packaging. And I just did the number one thing I did to market to my current customers was I went into the stores. I went into the stores and I talked with my customers. We sampled the product. People who already knew about it were given a taste of it and letting them know this is still the same recipe. We didn't change a thing. We just changed the packaging. So that took probably another year just to make more people comfortable with that. I fielded a few phone calls, but I was so delighted to know when I would go back to those grocery stores that they're like, yeah, you know, we had some customers who were confused, but they figured it out. On their own, they figured it out. And I was like, fantastic. That was a big risk, a big gamble. Because at that point, I had been in business, for 6 years. You know, you don't just throw away 6 years worth of grassroots and building a business. But I know that was worth it to get it to that point. And now, like I said, 3 years later, since we did that change, my business has exploded from where it was.
Wow. In the process of all of that, did you ever have anyone push back or criticize the fact that you were going in that rebranding direction? And if you did, because you had a lot on the line, how did you stick to going forward in the way that you did?
Believe it or not, I cannot think of any pushback that I received. The most common thing I heard was, well, it's about time.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, how many people will, they don't want to give some, you know, people who are close to you, they don't want to give you sometimes honest feedback. But once I figured it out and made this move, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, you should have done that from the beginning. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? You know, I knew I that would give me further confidence. It's like, yes, definitely. We love that. We get it. And even the customers who knew Cook Me Something Mister and had to learn about the change, they still were calling it Throw Me Something Mister. You know, there was just so many signs that made me feel good after I made this decision that I knew I was on the right path.
That's great. That's neat. You know, here you were taking this big risk, and you really did have that local support of people who still loved the original brand and really, really loved you. But also I think that's funny. Well, it's about time. You know, it's not like we're the last it out, you know. Well, I'm curious, of all the seasoning mixes that you currently have, which is your personal favorite?
Oh, it's like my two babies. I'm gonna give you this one. A little secret when I do my product demonstrations and when my team does it, is you really want the best of both worlds. You serve my gumbo on top of the jambalaya rice. I call that combo the gumbalaya. So that's my favorite, is the gumbalaya dish.
Oh, no. It's another trend yet to be started by the jambalaya girl, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That sounds also like between your mom and your dad's recipes for jambalaya and gumbo, that you can satisfy them both and not have a family feud.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
You caught that?
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe we're already out of time, but let me ask you, for those who want to learn more about the Jambalaya Girl, maybe cook up some jambalaya or gumbo for themselves using your mixes, what's the best way they can do that?
Oh, easiest place to go is jambalayagirl.com. And I know I spell this all the time, jambalaya girl.com. But you can go to my website. You can find a store near you. We are growing nationwide in grocery stores. You can easily click on the link to purchase on my website or go direct to Amazon Prime and look up Jambalaya Girl.
So basically, I'd say there's no reason why you can't get a hold of your mixes, because if you can go online and buy them, it's available to everyone. I can't wait to try it, honestly. I'm going to bring New Orleans here to the Richmond, Virginia area. Well, specifically to my house.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's all I'm talking about. Hey. Thank you so much for your time today, Kristen.
Oh, it's really fun.
This has been great. Congrats on your success that is of rebranding. And we look forward to now the worldwide domination of Jambalaya Girl.
Yum, yum. Come get you some.
Great.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.